And joining us this morning with a community connection it's Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, it's great to have you on. Very timely with a lot of the fire activity going on up in the Okanagan. What can you tell us from your perspective?
Well, it's been a very tough wildfire year this year. I like referring to it as a wildfire year rather than a season, because the wildfires in Washington State are starting much sooner. They're going much later, sometimes until the snow falls. And it's become a year-round effort. The state has significantly increased our investments in wildfire over the past years, and including this past legislative session, both for firefighting efforts, which is more air assets to put out the fires soon after they start, rather than just getting into a situation oftentimes where we're managing these fires once they get burning, but also the long-term proactive strategic forest management practices and forest health efforts that we're trying to put in to actually harvest some of the smaller trees, clear out the underbrush, add some prescribed fire. But my heart goes out to your Medhow Valley listeners, the people who are dealing with the Cub Creek fire and the Cedar Creek fire up there. It's a tough, tough situation, especially after being cooped inside for a year with COVID, and now with the wildfire smoke and the cancellations of the recreation opportunities, and really the whole economy up there is built around tourism and outdoor recreation, and not to mention the threat of the wildfire. It's just a devastating situation right now, and my heart goes out to them.
Mm-hmm. A couple stories in the news of late as a result of the new reforms, law enforcement reforms that took effect on Sunday. What are your thoughts on that from some of the things we've been seeing already?
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, these bills that pass during the legislative session often don't go into effect for 90 days after the governor's signature. And a lot of those bills, including the sweeping package of law enforcement reforms, are put in place. I voted against each of those bills. I mean, it was just, while I may have agreed with the spirit of some of the things that were trying to be advanced, I mean, the sweeping nature and all the details and things that were prohibited, I think will actually undercut our efforts to protect the people who keep us safe. But obviously there has been a significant nationwide dialogue about these issues, and I'm sensitive for people who have strong concerns on both sides, but I think there could be some significant unintended consequences over the long term of some of these different pieces of legislation and the ability to recruit our law enforcement officers. And, you know, we got to acknowledge that the difficult position that they're in and the difficulties some of these new laws are going to continue to put them in, make their jobs actually more difficult, which actually might ironically make us all less safe. So those are all concerns of mine. My hope is as a legislator, since we meet every year, sometimes when these sweeping reforms get passed, there is fine-tuning and improvements that could make some of these new laws less bad, and I hope that over time we could look at some of those adjustments.
Yeah, I know Chelan County Sheriff Brian Burnett had also issued a press release after a certain incident where they were actually unable to pursue a gentleman who had stolen a bus by virtue of the fact that there were four criteria that had to be met. Four triggers that would allow them to then pull that individual over. And by virtue of these new reforms, they couldn't even pull a man over who stole a bus.
Yeah, and that's exactly the unintended consequence scenario that I was describing for how some of these bills actually make us less safe. And some of these new laws that are no longer bills, but they're now laws of the land in the state of Washington, are potentially making us less safe and putting our law enforcement officers at risk. So for those of us who can agree to the spirit of some of these reforms, hopefully we can make some adjustments to those so that they're workable. And then I also think, in fairness, as law enforcement gets more training on the new laws, maybe they won't have as many challenges as they're currently facing with the implementation. But it's a tough situation. Those were hard-fought pieces of legislation, and we came up short on some of those votes.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, unintended consequences. I know that there are things coming to our schools that are hot topics as we are in the process of electing new school board members. What do you see there in terms of unintended consequences as well?
Well, it's been really interesting just to observe the uptick in interest in school board issues. One, I think it has to do with the mandates on school closures and the remote learning and the difficult year that we all had, those of us who had kids in school this past year. And teachers really had, you know, struggling with, you know, trying to adapt to all these changes that were coming upon them. But I think in past years, too, the state has mandated certain things on the schools, comprehensive sex education, you know, taking that out of the hands of parents and local school boards in making certain requirements as a top-down directive in the state. And then also there was a bill that some attribute to critical race theory this past legislative session on equity training, again, mandating certain things on all 295 different school districts in the state of Washington. And the school districts are not state agencies. They're actually separate local governments, administered by their school superintendent and overseen by their locally elected school boards. And I think the school board members in the community are getting frustrated at some of the actions that were passed at the state level, bills that I voted against, by the way, but that would basically represent this continual erosion of the local control of a school board that our system has been known for. So there's some misinformation. I think some people are running for the school board maybe to try to change things. But unfortunately, some of these are mandated by the state, by the big school board in the sky that the state legislature wants to be. And so some of these things the school districts are just going to have to absorb and implement unless we can change those new laws.
Do you foresee school districts that refuse to teach critical race theory losing state funding?
Well, not currently, but it will be interesting to see how these dynamics on equity and some of the other terminology that is referenced is, you know, what funding gets tied to and what it doesn't. You know, the political pendulum has swung significantly at the state level. I think we need to get some balance back in the legislature, and hopefully over time we'll allow the school districts, empower them to educate kids and do the things that they do best, which is kind of focus on academics and learning. I mean, kids have a lot of challenges in the upcoming years with learning loss and some mental health challenges. And I think school districts have a lot on their plate. The last thing they need to do is get any funding pulled from them because they're not doing X, Y, and Z that the Seattle-based legislators think they should do.
Running against a hard stop here at the top of the hour. Any final thoughts you'd like to share with us, Senator Hawkins?
Well, I got my listening tour coming up in mid-September. It's my fifth annual. And next month when I'm on your program, I'll get a chance to talk about that in more detail. And appreciate you having me on.
Oh, we appreciate the update and all the information. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Jeff.